Well, the Lord is good, isn't he?
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Let's get our Bibles. Go into the book of Acts, chapter number 2. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Let's just preach a little bit about that way.
Acts chapter number 2, and then we're going to begin reading at verse number 1. The Bible said, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one with one place. They were all with in one accord and in one place. Suddenly came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Praise God. Let's skip on down to verse number 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel, he's talking to these devout Jews. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus. He's going to elaborate a little bit on it. He's going to point to exactly who he's talking about. Whom you, the devout Jews, have crucified. Basically, he's saying, do you know who I'm talking about now? They got a mental picture. They know exactly. He said, God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord, that's Master, and Christ, Messiah. He's made him both Master and Christ. Now, when the devout Jews heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we, the devout Jews, do? Then Peter said unto them, repent, you devout Jews, and be baptized, every one of you devout Jews, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Let's read one more. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. Amen. I just want to preach about the salvation message here. Amen. This morning for a little while. Praise God. Amen. It's still the saving message of this day. I thought of all kinds of titles for this. The message that would fix this world. But how about the message that has saved this world? Amen. Messed up. Praise God. This is just the saving message, the salvation message. Amen. Would you put your Bibles down? Would you lift up your voice? Whether you clap your hands or lift your hands unto the Lord, would you just make a joyful noise unto Him? And would you bless the name of the Lord here today? Hallelujah. Thank you. the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen and amen. And God bless you. And you may be seated this morning. Praise God. Praise God. The Bible says that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And it said, but as to many as them that received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. For some 4,000 years, there had been a proclamation that the Messiah was going to come. Prophets had declared it. They had prophesied it and said that out of Bethlehem Ephratah would come one. Isaiah said from a virgin would be born a child, and that they would call his name Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace, and that the entire government would set upon his shoulder. Malachi prophesied it. So many prophecies was in Scripture, and then it would come even to Mary, as she was spoken to by an angel, and that the Holy Ghost had overshadowed her, and that that child that was in her would be the Holy One. And the angel went unto Joseph and told Joseph to fear not, to take unto him Mary to be his wife. And that which was of her was of the Holy Ghost. And so we know that the child was born even as the prophets had declared it to be. And that in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, came the God-man, the man Christ Jesus. He was man, he was God. Amen. If he was not God, then you have to refute 1 Timothy 3:16 that says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. For God was manifest in the flesh. Why was that so? Because the Bible says in the book of John, chapter number 4, amen, that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit. A spirit does not have flesh. A spirit does not have bones. Amen. But we know that prophecy would state that there would not be a bone that would be broken in his body. And so in the book of Acts, it would teach us that God purchased the church with his own blood. Not somebody else's blood, but his own blood. How does a spirit get flesh? And how does a spirit get blood? Amen. This is where God became flesh and dwelt among us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. And the Word, God, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory that could only be that of the Father. Praise God. Amen. He was in this world, and the world did not know him. Came unto his own, and his own received him not. Fulfilling prophecy after prophecy. Stately declaring prophetic times to come to pass. Amen. That he would rise, that he would die, and that he would rise 3 days later. And so at Calvary, fulfilling more prophecies in that he was bruised for our transgressions, and by his stripes we are healed, and the chastisement of his peace was upon us, and on it goes, and all of these things were fulfilled, but those that he came unto his own people knew him not, and at Calvary he would cry out, it is finished, amen, the work of the high priest, in that he was the sacrifice and the priest, and he made atonement for one and
and for all. And he was crucified. He died. And 3 days later, he would rise again. And he would show himself by many infallible proofs. And then with his disciples, he would ascend up into the heavens. And they would stand there gazing. And the angels would ask, why are you standing here? Amen. This same Jesus, amen, he's gone away. He's going to come again. They remembered the promise or the command that Jesus had given them to go tarry there in the upper room until they be endued with power from up on high. Acts chapter number 1 says that they all went to the upper room, some 120 of them. Amen, stayed in that upper room. And there they were praying and seeking after the promise of the Father. And then the Bible says that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, that they were all with one accord in one place. And then there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there was appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire that set upon them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. That was just the beginning. Some 4,000 years, amen, had waited, amen, for the fulfillment of Pentecost. That's a lot of patience that is there. It was on the day of Pentecost that the Lord was glorified, and that the people were edified, and that the devil became terrified, amen, as the devout Jews, those that was traditionalist, those that were religious, those that had a form of godliness, professing to be godly, amen, they stood around and they began to mock and make fun and say, these men are drunk, full of new wine. Peter stood up and he said, they're not drunk as ye suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. But he began to say, this is the prophecy, the fulfillment of that which the prophet Joel had prophesied, that in the last days, saith the Lord, he was going to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. And then Peter commenced to preach unto them for a little while. Amen. And he began to stab deep. He began to let the word begin to do its work. And while he was preaching, the people became astonished. And then he would make that statement. And he would say, you need to know assuredly that God hath made this man, Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And these devout people, amen, who had come for Pentecost, they had come for just another tradition. They had come for just another sacrifice. They had come for just another religious holiday. They had come for just another church service. They had come for just another, amen, sacrilegious part. Amen. Just to do their little thing. Amen. But all of a sudden, they're hearing something a little bit different. And the Bible said that they were pricked in their heart. Amen. They didn't come to hear that. They didn't come to receive, to understand, to see, to feel that. But there was something that began to click in their mind and began to unite up with their heart. There was something that began to make sense, amen, within them. All of the stories that they had heard of the bygone days, all of the stories of the Old Testament and the prophecies, the stories of Nicodemus coming to Jesus, amen, by night and saying, questioning the Lord, and the Lord saying, Nicodemus, except a man is born again of the water, and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Amen. Nicodemus began to wonder a little bit about that. And Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say you must be born again. Amen. They seen this new birth. And then they asked, what must we do? What is it that we've got to do? Thank God that the Word of God still has the power to prick people in their hearts. Amen. The church doesn't need to get nervous when the preacher gets up and he begins to preach against sin. Peter got up and he began to name it just like it was. He talked about the old things and he talked about the new things. And then he got right down to the matter. He said he came unto you and you didn't receive him and you crucified him. And this is the same one that hath made God, that God hath made both Lord and Christ. Amen. They began to realize, I got to change. I got to do something different. How does this world know that they need to change unless there is sin that is preached against? How does this world know that they need to change unless their life is challenged? But Peter stood up and he began to preach unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I'm here today to say that word is still true. That word is still prominent. That word is still current. It is for one and it is for all. You can repent of your sins. You can be baptized in Jesus' name and he'll still fill you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise God, praise God. We're here to preach a different message. We're not here to preach, amen, that God's going to accept you as you are. We're not here to preach a message that says that you get to continue being who you were and God's going to accept you for who you are. Amen. My Bible said that he came, amen, to save us from our sins. Amen. From our sins. It's time that somebody stands up and names sin. Amen. Lying is still a sin. Cheating is still a sin. Cussing is still a sin. Amen. Fornication is still a sin. Adultery is still a sin. Homosexuality is still a sin. Amen. We could go on and on and on, but we've got to stand up and declare the whole counsel of God. I must be saved. Praise God. I know that this world has changed the methods. And if we were to go back into the early 1900s and to the 1920s, chances are that you wouldn't recognize a difference in very many people at all. As a matter of fact, if there was a difference in anybody, then those that were different were scorned, were ridiculed, were the outcast. Amen. That's just who it was. The Church of Christ, the Nazarenes, amen, the Baptists and everybody, they all looked the exact same. Amen. They all dressed the same. They all act the same. They all talk the same. Amen. You didn't know if somebody was Pentecost or Nazarene. The Nazarenes would even go to church and shout their hair down. Amen. Yeah. There was all kinds of things, but you didn't know who it was. You know why? Because there was a lot that everybody was preaching that was the exact same. You know where the big difference was? The big difference was that the Apostolic Church and the Pentecostals still believed and preached in the oneness of God. That hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Amen. That there's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, one God and Father who is above all, through all, and in us all. Amen. Everybody else had espoused the Trinitarian doctrine that was not espoused in the Bible. You never find a plurality of gods in the Bible. You never find a plurality of persons. Amen. Just think about this. There's no way that a spirit, the Holy Ghost can be a person, because by the definition of spirit, there is no blood, there is no flesh, there is no bones, there's none of that. Amen. There cannot be three distinct persons, and if there are three distinct persons, then who is the Father of the Son? Because the Son, amen, Mary was espoused by the Spirit. Amen. She wasn't overshadowed by the Father, she was overshadowed by the Spirit. That's what the Bible says. Amen. But the apostolic stood preaching on the oneness of God. And it was only in the Council of Nicaea, 83 and 25, that Constantine got them to espouse to a Trinitarian doctrine, and they began to preach, amen, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, three distinct persons. They began to espouse baptism in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, because never was there anybody ever baptized in Scripture other than in the name of Jesus Christ. It's not in there, but the Roman Catholic Church had to get the upper hand through a political move and began to do these things, and that was the only difference. The Baptists espoused it. The Catholics espoused it. Amen. I want you to know that the Baptists and stuff will stand up and say, we're not Catholic. Let me just say, they are Catholic. They practice the whole thing of the Catholics. Amen. It was born out of the Catholic doctrine. It wasn't born out of the Bible. Amen. And so is everybody else. But you got to stand. It doesn't matter what we call ourselves. I just want to be saved. And there's only one way to be saved. You've got to repent. You've got to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you've got to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You've got to be born of water. You've got to be born of the Spirit. Amen. He that hath not the Spirit of Christ is none of his. Acts 4 and 12. Neither is there salvation. Is there salvation? Is there salvation in any other name? For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Let's magnify him today. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Do you realize that you're saved by a name? You're washed by a name. You're justified by a name. Amen. We're sanctified by a name. Amen. And Luke declared, and he said, there is neither is there salvation in any other name, for there is none other, amen, name under heaven given among men whereby we must. It's not just a desire. It's not just a formality, but it's something that you must do. You must be saved by the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. This say, God hath made this same man both Lord and Christ. It is through the name of Jesus that we have redemption, through the name of Jesus that we have sanctification, through the name of Jesus that we have justification, through the name of Jesus that we experience salvation, through the name of Jesus that we experience healing, through the name of Jesus that we experience miracles, through the name of Jesus that we cast out devils. Amen. Jesus said, these signs shall follow me, them that believe in my name shall they do these things. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, you cannot deny the effects of it all. You cannot deny the effects of it all. When a person repents of their sin, when a person is baptized in Jesus' name, there's something about them that changes. You don't have to tell them they're changed. You don't have to tell them a lot of things. There is something on the inside that begins to work in personas alpha on the outside. Amen. What is on the inside begins to manifest itself on the outside. Amen. And the fruit of the Spirit begins to manifest itself. Love, joy, peace, goodness, meekness, temperance, all faith. All of these things begin to manifest themselves. Amen. You may have been an alcoholic, but God delivered you. You may have been a drug addict, but God delivered you. You may have been an adulterer, but God delivered you. You may have been a smoker, but God delivered you. You may have been hooked on a lot of things, but God delivered you. Delivered you. God set you free. Accepting the Lord as your personal Savior is not going to do it. Shaking a preacher's hand doesn't deliver you from crack. Amen. Signing a visitor card, signing a membership is not going to set you free from the vices of sin. But repentance will, baptism will, and the Holy Ghost sure will. Praise God. Praise God. We need a message that stirs up the religious zealots of this day and age. We live in a generation where they're posting all over Facebook. Does anybody know of a church that makes homosexuals feel at home? I don't know of a church. There may be a congregation. There may be a grouping of people. We got to be ready and able to stand and declare the whole counsel of God. Amen. The Bible says throughout the scriptures in the book of Acts that they spoke the word of God with boldness. They weren't tiptoeing through the tithers. Praise God. They weren't tiptoeing through the tithers. Praise the Lord. Amen. Don't get me hung up here today, this morning. They just told them, as the old folks used to say, how the cow ate the cabbage. They just laid it out there. They just put it out. They just shucked the corn. Because the Bible said you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. You ain't going to be set free with me just playing around your golden calves. You're not going to be free from the vices of sin. And the Bible said that God once winked at ignorance. So in other words, if I don't tell you, you're still going to be lost. Amen. If I don't tell you, you're still going to be held accountable for it. You're going to stand before God with the books just like I'm going to stand before God with the books. And you're not going to be able to stand there and say, well, I didn't know that. And you're not going to be able to stand. Well, you can stand there and say that, but that's going to be a flimsy excuse. The Jews had a complete sacrifice for inadvertent sin or for sin that they didn't know about. In other words, they wanted to be so cautious that anything that they did that was sin, they went and repented of it. God, in other words, what they're saying is, God, if there's anything that I did today, amen, that is sin, forgive me of it and help me to search the scriptures. That's why David would say, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Amen. Keeping your Bible on your coffee table does not make you holy. Keeping your Bible on the dashboard of your car does not make you saved. Having a Bible in your house is not going to do you any good if you ain't in the Bible, if you're not in the scriptures. Being afraid of what the scriptures have to say is not going to save you. There's only one thing that's going to save us. Amen. And the Bible says, sanctify us with truth. Thy word is truth. That's the only way that you're going to be saved. You're not going to get to heaven and say, well, I didn't know that was there. Amen. God's going to say, amen, that's your fault. Amen. You've got a responsibility. Amen. You can help that responsibility out a whole lot by being at church so that you can hear the whole word of God. You can help that responsibility out a whole lot if you'll get your Bible and start reading it. Amen. Even as that Ethiopian eunuch, as he was reading the scriptures, he was searching because in the scriptures he thought that he had eternal life. And Philip joined himself and said, do you understand what you're reading? And the Ethiopian eunuch said, how can I understand except that somebody wouldn't teach me a Bible study? And Philip said, he joined himself to the chariot and he said, let me talk to you. And he began to preach Jesus unto them. Amen. When the Gentiles began to cry out through Cornelius, God sent Peter unto Cornelius. I want you to know that Peter preached unto them Jesus. He didn't preach Father, Son, and Spirit. He preached unto them Jesus. And the Bible said all that was in the house and everybody that heard the word, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And then they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Praise God. Man, Peter didn't soft soap it. Paul didn't soft soap it. Paul was talking to some disciples of John the Baptist. Amen. He didn't pat them on the shoulder and say, you know what, you're just doing the best that you can. Amen. He said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? That'd be a good question to start with those Mormon elders when they knock on the door. Be a good question to start with the Jehovah Witnesses. Amen. When you open up the door and you realize, a Jehovah Witness. I'm fixing to be a witness for Jehovah right now. I got a question for you, ma'am. I got a question for you, sir. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Since you believed. In other words, after that you believed. Jesus said, if you believe on me, as the scripture said. In other words, there were some qualities. There were some conditions. You don't get to choose how you're going to believe. You don't get to choose at what level you're going to believe. You don't get to choose the parameters of your belief. Jesus said, amen, if you, amen, would believe on me, as the scriptures say, something's going to happen to your life. Something's going to change in your life. Something's going to show in your life. He said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Thus spake he of the Spirit, which had not been given yet, because that he hadn't died at that moment time. But Jesus said, if you believe, something's going to happen. If you believe, something's going to change. If you believe like you're supposed to believe, there's going to be a manifestation of it. Amen. You're not just going to be a good person, amen, and start doing well. But he said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Amen. He said, out of your belly is the Spirit is going to begin to flow. Now, you say, well, that would just mean that they were just professing the gospel and they were just preaching the gospel and stuff. Let me just say, first of all, the gospel is the death, the burial, and the repentance. Death, the burial, and the resurrection. That's the gospel. All right? Now, that's what gets you started in the gospel. Uh-huh. That's what gets you started in the gospel. Because I don't care how you dress outside of the gospel, you're still not saved. Amish. Mennonite. Outside of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're not saved. That's what Paul said. Paul said, if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, you're only going to get the Spirit through repentance. You may get the Spirit before baptism, but if you do get the Spirit before baptism, you still need to be baptized. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus. He said, there's only one way to do this. You got to be born again of the water and the Spirit. You got to be baptized and receive the Holy Ghost. Paul said, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, so the only way you're going to get it is through repentance. Living right, doing right. Baptism be the fulfillment of it. Bible said he is none of his. None. None of his. All right? The Great Commission tells us to go forth and to spread the gospel to every nation, every country. But that's not what Jesus was speaking of when he said that out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. He wasn't talking about the propagation of the gospel. He was talking about the infilling of the Spirit. That's what he said. Thus spake he of the Spirit. He was talking about the Holy Ghost. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. The devil couldn't stop it, so he had to slander it and blaspheme it. And so now you've got those that are out there and they say, well, speaking in tongues is of the devil. Where did that come from? Because that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. And that's what happened throughout the book of Acts. Matter of fact, in the book of Acts chapter number 8, we would see that Philip was there and he was preaching. And in the process of preaching, The Bible said that there were all kinds of miracles that was taking place. And so everybody was seeing. Some of the people were experiencing miracles. Others were seeing miracles. And so if I could just add in there, everyone was astonished. Because that's what happens when people receive miracles. They that receive miracles are astonished. And when you see a miracle happen, you're astonished. Did you just see that happen? Miracles, signs, and wonders was taking place. It wasn't just somebody standing up and saying, oh, there's miracles happening all over this place. I'm not saying that I doubt that. But I'm saying it was a little bit more than that. There was actual miracles. They saw these things. It wasn't just somebody professing and saying, where? I don't see anything. No, it was happening everywhere. Bible said that there were miracles all over the place. They were preaching. There was miracles. And the Bible said there was great joy. There was great joy all over the place. And here they were, and they were excited. You know, somebody has joy, they kind of bounce around, they hop around, they jump around, they smile, they laugh, they, you know, whatever, all right? But they show, hey man, there's great joy. There's great joy in all of this. They got so excited, they said, baptize us. You know why they wanted baptized? Because the preaching convicted them. Preaching pricked their heart. And so they baptized them. So now you got preaching, you got miracles, you got joy, you got baptism in Jesus' name. Well, then they should have the Holy Ghost, shouldn't they? I mean, the only reason that a person would be baptized is because they've repented, right? I mean, let me just say, we don't just baptize people. We're not in the business to just baptize people. I preached revivals all throughout this country, and I had one individual I preached for several times, and he said, we're in the business of baptizing people. That's what we do. We just baptize people. You're just getting people wet. Baptism is for the remission of sins that have been repented of. If a person hasn't repented, they're not ready for baptism. Repentance is not just saying, I'm sorry for what I've done. Repentance is an about face and a change. Say, well, I'm going to change when I get the Holy Ghost. That's not biblical. Well, when I speak in tongues, then I'm going to stop doing those things. That's not biblical. The Bible said, repent. So in other words, you change, you turn around, and you start making your way to God. And through your spirit of repentance, amen, you live like you're supposed to live to the best of your ability, amen, and God is going to work out some things in your life. And so there's preaching, and because there's preaching, there's conviction, and so there's repentance, there's miracles, there's joy, there's baptism, but the Bible said that they still did not have the Holy Ghost. That's not my version. That's King James's version. That's God's version. That's God's prophetic word. It said straight up, they still had not have the Holy Ghost. And so they had to get on their cell phone and they had to text Peter. They had to call Peter and say, hey, Peter, we need you down here. Now, they didn't have cell phones, obviously. Somebody had to go run and take a message down to Peter and say, hey, we need some help. We need revival. Revival. And so here comes Evangelist Peter at the time. And he begins to preach. And they begin to pray. And the Bible says that when they laid their hands upon them, that they received the Holy Ghost. Now my question is very, very simplistic to you today. If joy does not signify the Holy Ghost, if miracles do not signify the Holy Ghost, if baptism does not signify the Holy Ghost, if repentance does not signify the Holy Ghost, if all this dancing and jumping and hoorahing around does not signify the Holy Ghost, how did they know that all of a sudden They got the Holy Ghost. Well, they started spinning this time when they jumped. Instead of just jumping, they started spinning. That's not it. The Bible says specifically, I'm going to read it to you from the Cowan Amplified Translation. Figure that one out, okay? They had miracles, but no Holy Ghost. Joy, but no Holy Ghost. Repentance, but no Holy Ghost. Baptism, but no Holy Ghost. All these things, but no Holy Ghost. Until somebody came and prayed for them, laid hands upon them. Amen. And the Bible said they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You say, well, it does not say that they spoke in tongues. I'm going to tell you something. There was something that was completely different. Outside of joy, gladness, jumping, miracles, confession, tears of repentance, there was something completely different that happened. Amen. And when you take theology and you apply it, amen, it simply goes like this. It's called the law of first mention, the law of first principle, the law, amen, of first things. And that's however that it happened the first time is going to be the way that it happens every subsequent time unless otherwise noted. Amen. And so when Peter stood up and he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And the day of Pentecost was fully come, and they received the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues. Every time from there, they began to speak with tongues, unless otherwise noted. It is a law in theology that is accepted across the board. Amen. It doesn't matter your profession, doctrine, denomination, or religion. It is a law in theology that is accepted across the board. That's why, amen, Philip said, or Luke said, now when we get to Samaria, I need to note some things to you, because they repented and they were baptized, but they did not have the Holy Ghost. I need to note that right here. But when they came and prayed for them, they received the Holy Ghost. And when Cornelius was come, amen, Luke began to record it and said, Peter came and he preached unto them Jesus. And I need to note that they received the Holy Ghost right then, speaking in other tongues. And then they went and got baptized. I need to note that right here. Amen. I'm telling you that Samaria received the Holy Ghost when they heard preaching on repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, fulfilled the requirements. Amen. And they were seeking God with all of their heart. And God filled them with the Holy Ghost. That message is still true today. That message is still prevalent. That message is still real. That message is still power. And it has the power to set all of men free. Let's stand here this morning. Praise God. It's the salvation message. The salvation message. You know, let me just say it to you very plain and very simple. I don't care what you believe, and I don't care what I believe. If it does not work with all Scripture, then our belief is off. Scripture is right. If I have something that does not work with Scripture, I am off. Not the Bible. Not the Bible. So I've heard it all. I've heard people say, well, I would rather take the words of Jesus than the words of Peter. Jesus said to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I'll give you 30 minutes to an hour to go search that, research that. And you will see that dirty, filthy King James had his finger in all of that.
I'm not afraid of that because I know the name. And it is very, very specific, singular, the name. Father's not a name. Son's not a name. Holy Ghost is not a name. Those are offices, titles, positions that Peter and the rest of the apostles stood perfectly. And so that's why Peter could stand up with the 11 and say, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. Because they knew the name. If it is so dogmatic, Matthew would state, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Why didn't Luke get that revelation? You've got a contradiction. If there's a contradiction, something is wrong. Because Luke recorded the exact same thing. He said it behooved Christ to suffer and to die, that repentance and remission of sins, that's baptism, should be preached in my name. There's no contradiction there. The name of the Father is Jesus, Son's Jesus. Those are offices. I am a Father, I am a Son, I have life, I have spirit. My name is Mark. My wife would call me Dad when she's talking to me about that position with my boys. My dad would call me Son, but that wasn't my name. And when my mom wanted my attention, she called me by my name. We know all of that. If I told you to go baptize everybody today after church in the name of the President of the United States, you would not go out there and say, I now baptize you in the name of the President of the United States. You would know that that's an office, and you would associate a name with that. I'd rather take the words of Jesus than the words of Peter. Just be consistent in whatsoever you do. Because Jesus said, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into heaven. Peter said, all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can't have it both ways. When you begin to understand how it works, confession is made with the mouth. You begin to understand how it works. Paul asked John the Baptist's disciples, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? You need to believe. You must believe. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And then he even got a little bit more plain, because he said, if you don't believe, you're just lost. He that believeth not shall be damned. But if you believe, you'll be baptized. Believe how the scripture has said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. They looked at the jailer and they said, if you would believe with your whole heart, you'd be saved. And the jailer said, I believe. Yes. Good, I'm glad. God bless you. No, doesn't stop there. The jailer said, I believe. The Bible said the self same day they took him out and baptized him. It's the salvation message. It's the message that changes people. Changes people. We don't have to make excuses. Say, well, you know what? I got the Holy Ghost and stuff, but you know, I've just got this problem of smoking that I just can't kick. You don't have the Holy Ghost.
All right. Hallelujah.
Well, God understands, and the grace of God covers that all. That's not what Paul said. Paul says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Stop sinning. Stop sinning. Does anybody believe that sin's going to make it to heaven? Well, the Bible simply says, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So I want to strive to enter in at the straight gate. For broad is the way. Deception is great. Wide is the gate that leadeth unto destruction, and many go in thereat. But because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, few there be that find it. I want to make sure I'm one of the few. So what does that mean? I'm going to study. Yes. To show myself approved. I'm going to search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. I don't want to just think. I want to know. I want to know. I want to know what Jesus said. I want to do it just like Jesus said. I want to do it just like Peter said. They were not contradicting themselves. Amen. Jesus gave Peter the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And he said, go preach. And Peter did. And the 11 were standing up with him. And none of them bucked him. None of them questioned him. None of them called him down. None of them said, now, Peter, that's not what Jesus said. They all understood. And they all believed. And it changed an entire generation after generation after generation. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all those that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. It changes people. It changes people. It takes crooked people and makes them straight. It takes people that are bent by sin and it pulls them out of that miry clay. And it puts them on the rock to stay. Thugs, gangbangers, thieves, all of these other people who were so messed up in sin, God, in his mercy, reached down and showed them grace and gave them a way. Amen. And they made their way through grace, through the plan of salvation. And they found that place in Jesus Christ. They all have repented of their sins, been baptized in the lovely name of Jesus Christ, filled with the Holy Ghost, and they're not the same person that they used to be. God's changed them through the salvation message. And when you find somebody that's messed up in this life, you can tell them, I've got the good news for you. I've got the saving message for you. You need to repent. You need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And there's no sense in being baptized until you've repented. But when you've repented and when you've been baptized, I'm telling you that the best life is yet to come. Amen. Because I'm a living witness of it. God hath been good unto us. Hallelujah. Let's love him. We can come around these altars this morning and let's just be thankful for what God has done. I'm not saved completely yet. I'm doing my best to the best of my ability. Amen. And I believe that if Jesus came right now, I would be saved. And if I die in a car wreck in a few minutes, I believe that I'll be saved. Amen. But if I don't, I possess the ability to walk away tomorrow and I could be lost. I don't want to do that. I want to be saved. I want to be saved. I don't want to be lost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, there's too much on the line. I can't afford to do it. Amen. It doesn't matter what anybody else has done. It doesn't matter what anybody else does. I must save myself. I'm not going to hell for my parents. I'm not going to hell for my family. If my wife doesn't want to live it, I've got to be saved. If my children don't want to live it, I've got to be saved. If nobody around me wants to live it, I've got to be saved. I've got to be saved. It's not worth it to be lost.